This is the Permission to Write podcast, and I'm your host, Ashley M. Coleman, author of Good Morning Love. Join us each week as writers discuss more than writing. You'll hear from me as well as the occasional guest on craft, publishing, life, and culture. We hope you enjoy the show. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Permission to Write podcast. This is Ashley M. Coleman, your host, and I'm happy to be back. Listen, it takes so much work to put these together, but it is indeed work that I'm dedicated and excited about. So we have, of course, an updated name, some updated segments, new intro music, and more, but it will be a lot of great information that you've been used to getting. And so I'll also be looking to do some video of the solo pods that will be soon to come. I do not have it together yet for this episode, but it is coming. And I want to make this podcast as insightful and useful as possible because no one needs another podcast, right? So we want to make sure that we are bringing you information that is important to your actual writing career and interest. And so sometimes we'll have interviews, sometimes we won't, but it'll all be nourishing just the same. So that being said, I'm flying solo today. So let's get into it. This week in publishing, this is where we kind of talk about news happening around writing and publishing. And so Simon & Schuster turns 100. Simon & Schuster is the publisher of Good Morning Love. And so this news is kind of top of line. 100 years in publishing has to be an interesting feat. And I'm sure that the inclusivity has grown leaps and bounds since 100 years ago. But there is still ways to go in all of publishing. And I will link, of course, to all the articles as usual in the show notes. Also, in an episode of First Draft, which is a podcast by Lit Hub, author Kylie Reed talked about how she doesn't see fiction as activism, which is an interesting take to say the least, which I think she realized by saying that maybe like some other writers wouldn't agree. But it's definitely an interesting conversation. And, you know, a little bit of her thought process was that, you know, fiction is for entertainment, but it was fascinating because I just tend to think that there's so many themes and so many things that develop from reading fiction. So go ahead and listen to the episode, check it out, you know, decipher what you think about whether writing fiction is activism. And then last but not least, I wanted to talk about indie bookstores and how we have to keep our indie bookstore owners uplifted. As recently, the first Black-owned bookstore in North Carolina closed after receiving death threats. Liberation Station down in Raleigh is closing their doors, and that should just not be the case. I also remember Octavia's Bookshelf in Pasadena closing for like a day, not indefinitely, but just closing for a day because there had been some really suspicious behavior before. This was sometime last year before they moved into their new location. But I just think like we simply cannot and should not tolerate that type of foolishness surrounding our indie bookstores, specifically indie bookstores that are championing Black and POC writers, because we need those spaces. So let's just keep our folks uplifted. Let's buy indie where we can and support specifically those bookstores that really uplift Black and POC writers, because there's not enough spaces that are giving us those opportunities. So in the vein of new segments on the podcast, we're going to talk about some books and who should be cast if they're options. So this is our Get It Options segment, where my brain just automatically goes to actors when I'm reading books. Even for my own books, I tend to make vision boards or creative boards where I have characters, because it just helps me with a lot of things, from description to just understanding who these people are visually. And so I just thought it would be fun to do a Get It Options segment where we cast some of the books that we're reading. And so to kick it off, I wanted to highlight This Could Be Us, which I just finished reading by Kennedy Ryan, and talk about some of the characters that I could see for that book. And so I want to see Aldous Hodge as Judah. He can give me a stoic but loving and caring father. And he's the right amount of accountant hot, which if you've read the book, you would understand. And also Soledad, I was thinking about Amira Vaughn. She plays in so many historical pieces, but let's bring her into the present as a sexy Afro-Latina character. I'm here for it. And then Edward was giving me Simon Baker from Something New. I don't know if you remember that movie with Sanaa Lathan. And of course, Simon Baker playing opposite her. I don't know why, but you know, any kind of actor in that category, I think would do for Soledad's crazy husband in the story. And then Judah's ex, Tremaine, was giving me like a Shanola Hampton type vibe. Or like, who is the Vanessa Estelle Williams of this time? Because you know, you got to differentiate between Vanessa L. Williams and Vanessa Estelle Williams, who actually played in like the series of Soul Food. Yes, but I feel like Tremaine was definitely giving me that like soulful vibe, which would be either one of them or someone else would be great at playing. And then for Lupe, who was Soledad's oldest daughter, it was giving me the young lady from Family Reunion, Talia Jackson. I'm like, throw some contacts and blonder hair on that baby, because it was definitely given she had gotten the father's genes a little bit more, that she probably looked a little bit more Caucasian than the other children, because of course, like Soledad is a Latina, but I don't know, for some reason, I just was getting that image. And, you know, I think you kind of play her up to look a little bit more passing, I guess you could say, whatever. That is not the right term, because passing definitely, you really can't have black features. But anyway. And then last but not least, I didn't know who to peg for Hendrix and Yasmin. I wanted to kind of just focus on this book, but it would need to be consistent because, as we know, of course, this is a bit of a series. Like, This Could Be Us is in the same world as Before I Let Go. So it's just kind of following the different characters. So I want to know your thoughts there. Who would you cast for Hendrix and Yasmin? For Hendrix, there is a comedian named Cordelia. And I'm like blanking on her last name, but she was giving me like a Hendrix vibe. Hendrix is kind of wild and crazy and funny. And so let me know your thoughts on who you would cast to play Hendrix and Yasmin, which are Soledad's best friends in the story. Awesome. So moving on to our main topic for the show, we are going to be launching our salon topic is going to be our main topic for the show. So you'll see that when we have guests, we're going to have an overarching topic and they're going to talk about their work a little bit too. But I want to invite guests on here to talk about things other than just their work. And so in this specific series, some episodes we're going to do are really going to talk about how to relate certain elements of storytelling from the books that we read. And so this is what I like to call the Read Like a Writer series. And so we'll be breaking down elements of storytelling from mostly contemporary fiction that I think did these things well in storytelling. And this is really an extension of our weekly newsletter, The Craft, that is a part of our paid membership community, Permission Granted. And so for even more breakdowns, be sure to become a part of it. Look that up to access our video archive, private member forum, and much more. But I typically write about these in our weekly newsletter. And so as we were brainstorming with our wonderful board about different things to kind of bring to the podcast, I thought Read Like a Writer would be great to also share in this forum. So for this week, we are going to talk about description. And so I always tell people that reading really was my MFA because I just think I have an inherent ability to read things, but also then be able to figure out how to execute them in my own work. And so somewhere along the way, I realized everybody isn't necessarily good at that. Sometimes people read just to read, and then their writing practice is very different than what they actually read. but I really read with an eye to say, how did they do this? And being able to dissect it and then bring it back into my own work. And so I want to help people do that too, if it is not something that actually comes very innately to you. And so, like I mentioned this week, I want to talk about description. And there are some writers that I know that know how to describe things so beautifully. Oh my gosh, it just makes you want to weep. Sometimes I feel like they take a word from Oprah because she always talks about wanting to weep about reading things. But I aspire, you know, to write as well as some of the writers that I'm going to talk about today. But I do feel like this is a place in my writing where I have improved a lot. Because I have done the work to really understand how to create great description and how not to get lost in description. Cause I think sometimes, especially when you, aren't in like the literary genre where it is expected to just have pages and pages of description, it can be a really, intimate dance to figure out how to, describe things in a way where it doesn't take you out of the story, but only highlights it. So I'll be highlighting just two books today that really serve as great inspiration for me. Literally, I will be working on my own work. I'll feel stuck and open up to any page of these books in order to jumpstart my own creative juices. It's never about copying. It's always about just sometimes I read something and the way they describe something helps me dig deeper into something completely different than I'm trying to describe in my own work. So I want to start with the OG. And sorry if you hear any pages turning, but we are real life reading books and reading excerpts. So just bear with me if there's a little bit of page turning happening in our lovely new mic setup that hopefully is giving you really quality sound. I want to start with the OG Diane McKinney Whetstone's Leaving Cecil Street. You know, she has this innate grasp of place for me as someone who is from an urban community. I feel like she just gets it right. And the book really happens, Leaving Cecil Street, between two block parties, which I'm not sure if those are inherently East Coast, but it absolutely resonates as a girl from Philadelphia. We grew up on block parties. It was a time. It was a time. So let me tell you a little bit about this opening paragraph, which I've used in different workshops that I've hosted to highlight her really great ability to bring us like right into where we are. So I'm going to read a little bit of it and hopefully not make too much noise with the actual book. So Cecil Street was feeling some kind of way in 1969. Safely tucked away in the heart of West Philadelphia, this had always been a charmed block. A pleasure to walk through the way the trees lined the street from end to end and made arcs when they were in full leaf. The outsides of the houses stayed in good repair, with unchipped banister posts and porches mopped daily because the people here sat out a lot. Their soothing chatter, jumping the banisters from end to end, about how the numbers had come that day or what had happened on the edge of night. So I just think here she immediately brings us into this idea of place and grounding us in exactly what this neighborhood is like and the community elements of it. I feel like that is another thing that she does really well, is talks about community. If you're not familiar with Diane McKinney Whetstone, she also wrote Tumbling and Blues Dancing. And these were books that my mom gave to me really early, and I just fell in love with her. I feel like although we hear so much about her contemporaries, she is often not kind of mentioned in the same veins of like the Terry McMillans and I don't know, just a lot of other writers from the genre at the time that were specifically writing stories for us. And we can talk about this in a later episode, but I feel like sometimes those things got relegated to like urban fiction or African-American literature back in the day. Like, can we talk about how much I hated that section? But again, that is a whole nother podcast episode for us to talk about. However, Diane McKinney Whetstone is one of those girls, okay? So I just suggest that If you haven't read her, definitely read her, specifically if you are like me and particularly love these African American based stories. And so about like our family, our lives, our love, all that good stuff. But I think in the excerpt that I just read, one of the important things about description that I think she highlights here is the personification that's important when we talk about description. She says that the street was feeling some kind of way. You know, that gives a personal, like a characteristic to like a non-living object. I'm sorry, I'm like inanimate. I'm forgetting the word, but it gives a personal trait to an object that's not actually like a living, breathing thing. And so that is just a way. But that is just a way to really bring description to life, is when we personify objects that aren't normally, when she says the street was feeling some kind of way. And then she also talks about, you know, just a line to highlight there is their soothing chatter jumping from the banisters from end to end about how the numbers had come that day or what had happened on the edge of night, which I'm guessing is a TV show. I can't remember what that actually was. But that gives us a sense of the community and all the things that, you know, are happening. Like, what are these people like? They sit outside, you know, which again, inherently like Philly, East Coast, when it is summertime, people are outside. We sit on the porch. We sit on the porch. We are outside. We're talking to our neighbors. And so, you know, it really takes me to a place. And I think specifically as someone from a similar city, I think she really captures it very well. And I immediately understand this neighborhood, where I am and what I'm in for. And I think Whetstone does those things masterfully. And so I also wanted to jump and talk a little bit about another book. I will talk to anyone who will listen about You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty by Akweke Emeze. And the description of food and people in this book is unmatched. Emeze gives a masterclass in this beautiful blend of literary fiction and romance. It almost feels like they are in a genre all their own. Like they have created a genre because I've not seen romance done in such a, I don't know, just thoughtful and literary way before. I'm sure there are other books out there that I just haven't read yet. There's a million books, y'all. So please don't crucify me if there are other people who have done this genre blend of romance. But I really aspire to have that beautiful blend in the genre myself as a writer. I know when Good Morning Love kind of got pegged as romance, I've talked about how I was really nervous about it because I just didn't feel like it kind of hit the normal beats of romance, even though I understand those beats really well because I read a ton of romance and I love love stories. But I wanted to talk a lot more about Carly as a person, how she related to her family, how she related to her friends, in addition to really centering this love story. And so it really is encouraging to me that we forget that writing books is a measure of creativity. We get to be creative. We don't have to kind of follow molds. And that's exactly how I feel about You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty. So to jump in some excerpts from that, because I'm definitely going to be turning pages for this. So again, just bear with me as I'm kind of getting used to my new setup, which can hear me so much better and picks up everything. So I like how, let's see, for this first one, I wanted to talk about how, yeah, she's taking it all in. So Faye is the main character and You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty, and they're visiting Nasir's father's house, who is her kind of, they're not in a relationship, but the love interest starting out in this book. But if you know the book, you know things take a turn. But in it, in this description, they are kind of pulling up to the house and the character is taking it all in. So it says they parked under a steel beam trellis dripping with bougainvillea, and Faye stepped out of the car. There was entirely too much to look at. Her eyes could only snag on the details a few at a time. The soaring birds of paradise along the pathway, the albino peacock watching them from the grass, the side door inlaid with mother of pearl. Aleem and Nasir took off their shoes as they entered the house, and Faye quickly followed suit, dropping her sneakers on the teak rack next to the door. The ground floor was a stretch of black polished concrete spilling into an open living area littered with sculptures, couches, and art. She spun around, taking it all in. And so these are those moments where you really have to feel like the character is somewhere real. We see it, you know, we are getting the full kind of understanding of where exactly this person is. And I think specifically in this book, it's important because they are going to a new place. So they're not in their New York surrounding, their New York apartment, they're in a new place. Naturally, when we're in somewhere new, we're observing all of these things. And so I think that that is just one example of how, to me, a meze really brings us into the moment. And then another thing that I would want to highlight, too, is that when we're doing description, we can also have the character interact with what's happening around them in order to describe it. So you can get a little lost in just saying there was a cup and there was a table and there was art and there was this, right? Like, so you don't want it to feel like just kind of a summary of what's happening. That is the beautiful thing about writing and art. You want it to kind of feel innate and you want to get lost in the moment. And so a way that we're able to do that is by the characters interacting with the things around them to help with description. Like, it's an easy way to show what's around them that's less obvious than explaining everything. And so on page 89, she just has a line where she says, Faye ran her hand along the back of one, marveling at how supple the leather was. Then she noticed that the table was empty. So she's referencing the chairs. Faye is around these chairs, and we know that the chairs are leather and that they're supple because she's running her hand along them. So this, it's a subtle thing, but it's this idea that it doesn't have to say there were supple leather chairs. Is that our character is literally interacting with the supple leather chairs. Very small detail, I know, nerdy stuff, but it makes a big difference. And so I also feel like I want to highlight here how we can also look at how we describe physical attributes of people and ways to really diversify how we describe people. And, you know, this is without the rundown of like hair color, eye color, and build. And believe me, I had those moments where, you know, I had my editor getting back to me like, hey, you know, find another way to describe this person that doesn't have to do with their hair or their eye color, you know, because is that always the first thing we actually even really notice about people? Or this idea, sometimes it's about how people make us feel, not even what they look like, but how they make us feel. And so the last excerpt that I'll kind of highlight here is when the character Faye is actually meeting Nasir's father for the first time. They are at the airport. And so, of course, you know, she is taking in this person in front of her. And so it says, it was easy to recognize Aleem Blake in the crowd of people gathered outside the arrival hall. Bodies and voices flowed around him in streams, a map of movement while he stood in the sun, a fixed point. The man had presence, gallons of it radiating out into the air like a force field. His skin was the color of wet coal, mineral rich against the white linen he was wearing, a shirt with rolled up sleeves, buttons open to his chest, loose trousers. It was chaos out there, but no one bumped into Aleem. No one so much as touched him, except those who stopped to shake his hand and greet him. He was charming with them, touching arms and shoulders, crouching to smile at a little girl in a pinafore who was babbling excitedly, her mother watching fondly. The child held out her arms, and as Aleem was hugging her, Nasir walked through the doors of the arrival hall, wheeling Faye's suitcase with his duffel over his shoulder. So she is, taking in, Faye is taking in this person, that, you know, this presence. And I feel like Emeze does such a wonderful job of, yes, they talk about skin color, but there's all these other elements surrounding it that they bring in to really give us a great idea of who this person is, who this character is, how they make the people feel around them. What is Faye seeing, hearing in this moment of meeting this person? And I just think that gives us such a full and robust picture versus just saying they had a bald head and they, were brown skin, whatever the case may be. Sorry, y'all. Whatever the case may be, whatever the simple thing may be, I think is, this just gives us a way more robust picture of who the person actually is and grounds us really in this moment. So one of the major keys to me that has helped with my own description in writing is observation. I write a lot of notes when I'm in a new environment or traveling or just a coffee shop. People watching and observing are your major hacks to really being able to describe things well. I would also say reading poetry, because to me, one of the beautiful things about Akweke Emeze is their poetic language around everything. Like, the whole book just feels beautifully written. I think I've likened it to like cinematography in a film. It is just that they create such a beautiful picture in this book. And so I think when you're observing, seeing things, reading poetry, those things all help really get the gears going for me. I think I also developed this skill of description from doing feature interviews. You always want to capture the ambiance in the beginning of a feature piece, like when you're interviewing somebody. So I learned to describe the things happening around me. What does it sound like, smell like, feel like? Dig into those senses when you're writing. You know, it's not always about what we see. It can be about what we hear. How are that goose pimples raised up on our arms? All these elements, these physical elements that are how we intake things as people in the real world, and really being able to translate that into our writing. So you take these elements into your fiction to create the realism that people feel when they read your work. And so read like a writer by taking in the descriptions of books like Leaving Cecil Street and You Made a Fool of Death with your beauty, and dig deeper in your own work. So I want to hear from you, of course. What are your other hacks that help you with description in your writing work? And hopefully you found this helpful. To close shows in the future, I would love to answer some of your questions around writing, publishing, and writing and publishing while Black or POC as well. So to send those my way, you can email me at hello@permissiontowrite.com. And you know that anyone who has emailed there, you will get a response. So send those in, because we want to end the new shows with some of your questions and talking through things and just making this as best of a resource as possible. So thank you all so much for listening. And I will catch you next time. Thank you for listening to the Permission to Write podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Plug into our community that works to cultivate and amplify the voices of Black writers and writers of color by visiting permissiontowrite.com. We'll see you next time.